Sort of read through this chapter. I'm going to skip around a bunch. You just do your best to follow me. I'd read the whole chapter, but there's about half of them inclined to go to sleep anyway, so I don't want to tempt you. But I'm going to start in verse number 3 and sort of skip down through here, and you just try to follow along. But Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 3, the Bible says this: "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth." And verse number 6 says, "And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos." Verse number 9 says, "And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan." Verse number 12 says, "And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel." And Mahalalel, verse number 15, "And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared." Verse number 18, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch." And the Bible says, verse number 21, says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." And the Bible says, verse 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Said that Methuselah lived 187 years, begat Lamech. Verse number 28 said, "Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Let's pray this evening. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for being so good to us tonight. Lord, I appreciate, Lord, the service thus far, the songs, Lord, the testimonies. And, Lord, I know, Lord, that tonight we surely need your help. And, Lord, without you, I know that we can do nothing. So, God, I pray for a little while, Lord, that you'd reach down, that you'd give us good liberty and unction. Lord, that you'd take this word that you've put upon our heart. And, Lord, that you'd help, Lord, to send it forth, that it accomplish, God, what you've sent it forth to do. Lord, I love you tonight. Pray for all those that are lost, that they'd be saved in your most precious name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Do appreciate your good attention, reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Now, as we look here in Genesis chapter 5, I know that this is no doubt a very familiar verse of Scripture. Many folks have heard about what's going on here in this genealogy. We call it the genealogy of grace. And we're going to go down there. We're going to look at some things, then I'm going to give you the burden of my heart. Quite literally, if you look up and you look at this genealogy, you look at what these names say and what they mean, what studying will tell you about what the Bible does right here is this. And I want you to understand that this is just a God thing. Now, me and you, we couldn't do this. Man could not line this out. Man could not perfectly preserve this thing to be the way that it is. And, of course, going by name down through that genealogy, Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal, incurable. Canaan means sorrow and sadness. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means the despairing. And Noah means comfort and rest. So quite literally, if you just read those names as far as the meaning of them says, it says that man is appointed mortal, incurable, sorrowful, sadness. The blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest. And you have to understand, friend, you just can't hardly make stuff like that right there up. That's just a God thing, and I say praise the Lord for it. But the thought that I want to bring to you tonight is this. I want you to notice what this story tells us. Of course, this is just here a picture, really, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the first four names, I mean, it's a hot mess, Brother Joe. You look at it, and it says that man is appointed mortal, incurable, sorrowful, and sadness. Now, looking at each of those names, boy, you look at that first thing, and it says Adam's name means man. Now, I tell you what, that holds a lot more weight than what a lot of folks probably give to it. And it's everybody in this room falls under this category right here. Everybody in here, when God said, man, he meant everybody. He meant every man, every woman. He meant every boy and every girl. Every person that was ever going to live, starting from this man, Adam, and all the way down, God says, right here, this applies to you. So he says, man. And then he said, the next name means appointed. Now, an appointment is something that has been put upon you. And so as we look at this scripture and we see what God is showing us, a picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way back in the book of Genesis, he shows us that man is appointed to some things. Now, Brother Gavin, there's some things that we're appointed to. There's a lot of things that scare me about what I've been appointed to. Sin has been appointed unto me. I say this all the time. We can't even help that we're sinners. The Bible says that we're conceived in sin. We are literally born into this thing. But there is a weight that comes with that. There's an appointment that comes. All men, as this scripture shows us, Brother Doug, all men have been appointed unto something. And the scary thing is that we've all been appointed unto judgment. And this story, this genealogy tells us what that appointment looks like. It tells us how that thing's going to work out for us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ain't real good. The next name, Enos, means mortal and uncurable. Did you know that man is uncurable? There is no hope for you. There's no hope for your flesh. I mean, from Adam all the way down, there is no hope. When this thing started, everything was right. God made Adam and God made Eve, and they were in the Garden of Eden, and it was perfect, and they were sinless, and they had everything that they needed. They had fellowship with God. There was nothing, Brother Bill, that separated them from God. But then something happened. Sin crept in, and death came by sin. And death was pronounced upon Adam and Eve. It's been pronounced upon, it's been appointed, if you will, to everybody since Adam. And with that comes this. It comes an uncurable diagnosis. The world has nothing to help you. The world can do nothing with sin. Brother Adam, there's a lot of folks try. And they try religion, and they try good works, and they try, I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to quit that. And boy, if I quit cussing and I quit drinking, it's all going to be all right. But look here, friend, it's incurable. There is nothing that you can do. There's no doctor on the face of this planet that you can go to, and you can say, I've got a sin problem. I've got a heart problem. My heart's all messed up. The Bible teaches us that what comes out comes from within. And that's our problem, friend, is that we're sinners because of what's on the inside. We've got bad hearts. And you can go to every cardiologist in the country, and they can't fix that problem. We've been appointed uncurable. We've been appointed mortal. We are mortal. We are uncurable. And the scripture teaches us that up to this point, that's all we know. The next name means Canaan. It's sorrow, sorrowful. I mean, it's a sad story. To sit and look at this and say, man was appointed mortal and uncurable. Boy, Brother Doug, how sad that is. Yeah. Now, that's all up to this point. That's all. And I had to wonder, as I sit and I pondered on this and thought about this, I tell you what I thought about, Brother Doug. I thought if there wasn't at some point somebody got to notice and what was going on. Yeah. And you have these guys, you've got, you know, Adam has a son named Seth. Seth has a son named Enos. And Enos has a son named Canaan. And I had to wonder, I mean, at some point, did somebody, they weren't the only people in the world. And so at some point, I mean, did somebody not see it and think, man, like, you ever thought about what their name means? I mean, you know, Adam, he was the start, right? And his name means man. We all know that. And then he had a son, and he named him Seth, right? And his name means appointed. And the next in Enos, his name, it means uncurable, and it means mortal. And then he had a son, and his name means sorrowful and sadness. And I just thought, and I thought, man, I wonder if anybody ever sat down and thought about that. Yeah. Thought, man, I mean, what a sad lineage that is. What a sad story that there is going on over there. Yeah. And boy, I thought, I bet they wonder, Brother Denver, I wonder what the next one's name will be. I wonder what's coming next. Boy, I bet it's bad. I mean, everything to this point, it's been terrible. Everything that's been said about this family, there ain't nothing good that's come out of that bunch. It's just a hot mess over there. That's all. I'm glad I ain't part of this. Boy, what a mess that family is. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, old Canaan names his son Mahalalel. And Mahalalel, if that's how you say it, his name means the blessed God. Now, ain't that something? So right here in the middle of this terrible story where everything's bad and everything's down and boy, how sin's run rampant in this family, and all of a sudden there's a son and his name is the blessed God. Now I tell you what I noticed about this, Brother Joe. Guess what number in the line that fella is? No coincidence there, right? I mean, isn't that something? So number five, boy, things begin to change a little bit. This story starts to change all of a sudden. Not only that, but you know, that feller's name, it's only in the Bible, guess how many times? Seven times. Isn't that something? Number completion. That's all right, ain't it? Guess how many times it's in this chapter? Five times. Ain't that something? You say, preacher, you're making that up. No, you go study and you read it for yourself. It's right there. It's right in your face. And so what we have here is a picture of the grace of an almighty God. And so at Mahalalel, boy, things begin to change. Things begin to shift. From there on, it says, the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest. Well, that's a lot better sounding story than the first part, wasn't it? I mean, from 5 to 10, I sure like that side a whole lot better than I liked 1 to 4. And I say praise the Lord for it. Now, if I can preach a thought to you tonight, it'd be this, is when things begin to make a turn, when things begin to shift a little, when things started to change. And Brother Doug, you can't hide the fact as you look in that scripture and you see, boy, it's plain as the nose on your face, friend. It's just the grace of an almighty God. And I tell you what ends up happening at the end of this lineage over in the book of Genesis. It's a chapter number, it's just a chapter over, chapter number 6, verse number 8. What we find here is the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time you'll ever see in your King James Bible that the word grace is mentioned. And it's right here, right after this genealogy of grace at the end of that thing, after the story of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was to come and to die for wretched men so that they could be saved, so that they could be made back right to God. At the end of that thing, we see that God plainly says it, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ain't that something? Well, I'm glad that when the Lord shows up, things begin to change. First part of this story, no good. Don't want no part of that. But boy, the second part, hey, I'll take all that I can get. And I say praise the Lord for it. Now, I thought about just a few examples in the Bible that I'll give you and then I'll be done and we'll all go to the house. But there's just a few examples in the Bible that I thought about. Now, Lord, there's times when things looked real dark, but then all of a sudden, things begin to change. Now, look here again at this time. Hey, things look dark, right? You look at that story, that genealogy, what's going on. Boy, things looked awful dim. But boy, on Mahalalel, on old number 5, boy, on grace, things begin to change. And I'll tell you what I thought about. I thought about, you know, before that Jesus Christ was born, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there was 400 years where it was total silence. Nothing. Nobody said nothing. I mean, the last prophets had spoken. The men of God had said what they were going to say. God was totally silent. Now, 400 years, that's a long time. People didn't live 900 years back then. This is way after that, right? I mean, they're making it, you know, 80, 100, 120 years, about like us today. So what you had four or five whole generations of people, and Brother Nathan, they hadn't heard from God at all. Just total silence. Israel had fallen into total depravity. They were worshiping false gods. The Romans had come in and they had taken over. They were ruling and reigning over them with a heavy hand. It's obvious from the Bible that they wanted to get out from under the hand of the Romans. They were tired of being ruled over. They're looking for some way of escape. I mean, things were just really bad. Ain't no doubt in my mind that there was folks that thought, what a mess that we're in. 400 years of this. Nobody said nothing. God's been silent. Where's he at? What's he doing? Where's the promise of his coming? When's his son supposed to show up? All this that was prophesied of in the Old Testament, when's it going to happen? But boy, then all of a sudden, things began to change. Boy, news started making rounds. Did you hear about over there in Bethlehem? There was a Savior born. I heard about some wise men that went over there. I heard about a king that tried to kill that poor little feller. I heard about all these things beginning to happen. I can just see it in my mind how the news began to spread. Boy, there's a change of wind happening. There's a Savior's been born. I've heard that he's the Christ. I've heard that Mary, she was a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Boy, just as was prophesied. Ain't that something? And so I tell you, in a dark time, there was some awful good news. So Christ lived, you know, went through his 33 and a third years, however long he was alive. And what ends up happening, you know, he's got these disciples and other friends of his, and he's been walking with them. He's been healing folks, performing all these miracles. Everything's been going real good. And boy, they've enjoyed his presence. They've enjoyed his company. And they've liked listening to him. They've liked listening to his teaching. They've enjoyed the stories about the kingdom that was to come and all he had said, all the wisdom that he had and all that he had to say. And then all of a sudden, boy, things got to looking real dim again. Oh, Judas goes and he betrays the Lord. They come, Brother Doug, and they get him. They rip him away. They take him and they beat him and they mock him and they spit in his face and they put a crown of thorns upon his head and they sit back and those disciples, man, they watch this and all the followers of the Lord, they sit back and boy, I can just imagine the torment in their heart. This man who they love, this man who they trusted in, who they believed was the Son of God, who had helped so many people, done so many good things. They sit back and they watched him as he was beaten and scarred and how he was whipped and beaten to just being unrecognizable as a human. They brought him to the cross, hung him on the cross, and there he gave up the ghost. And boy, I tell you, when you read through Scripture, you can tell them fellas were scared. They was afraid. They knew that if they got caught, if they were found to be a follower of him, that some of the same stuff might happen to them. They went into hiding. The Lord plainly told them in 3 days he was going to raise back up, but they wasn't none of them over there looking for him. I mean, they was just scared to death. It was a dark time. If you could have got a hold of old Peter in that time, I tell you, we probably wouldn't have been real encouraged about what he had to say. If we could have talked to John and Thomas and all them guys, I tell you, it probably would have mourned our heart to have heard how discouraged they were, how down they were, how dark that time in their life was, friend. But I tell you, after probably the darkest time in their life come some of the best and sweetest days that had ever been. I mean, it's one thing for a Savior to be born, but boy, for a man to die and then to raise from the dead, but Joe, that's a whole new set of rules right there. I mean, the Lord, he's done breaking chains. He's done getting out of the box of what everybody thinks is possible. And so old Mary goes down there to see him in the tomb and to do all that stuff she was doing. And then, you know, he was out there. She called him a gardener. She didn't recognize him. And then, you know, he reveals himself to her. And she said, hey, I mean, I know that guy. That's Jesus Christ. So she goes back to the disciples. She tells them, she said, hey, you've got to come check out what's going on down here. The Lord, he's raised from the dead. And the two disciples, they go running. There's a couple of disciples on the road to Emmaus, I believe it is. The Lord begins to walk and to talk with them. They don't recognize who he is. And then all of a sudden, he reveals himself to them. And they said, man, how did our hearts not burn within us? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, boy, if you could have got a hold of them old fellers, they'd have probably done us some good on that day. I mean, 2 days ago, 5 minutes before that, we probably wouldn't wanted to talk to them. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us they were walking, they were talking about everything that were happening. They were upset, they were troubled about what was going on. But boy, I tell you, if we could have talked to them after that, and what I'm getting you to see is when the Lord showed up, boy, it made a difference, didn't it? I mean, it made a change in the situation. It was dark and it was grim and everything looked bad. But boy, when the Lord showed up, boy, it made all the difference. I say praise the Lord for that. Not only that, just a couple more stories I thought about. I thought about them disciples, Brother Nathaniel, when they was over in the boat. You know, they was out there, and you know how it is. I mean, I don't like boats anyway, but you get out there on one of them things, and but Doug, I mean, that thing, it starts rocking, and you know, I've seen videos and stuff. They get through all over the place, and that thing will about turn over. And I mean, I ain't got no business being out on something like that. I'd be scared to death. And I believe them fellas probably were too. I mean, it bothered them. They thought, man, here we are. The Lord, he's sent us across to the other side. I mean, he told us to go over here, and he stayed back there praying. And here we are in the middle of this sea. This storm's coming. I mean, it's just about wrecked us. I mean, we're scared to death. I mean, we're in a mess. Where's the Lord at? Where's our help? I tell you what, I've been there, friend. I don't know about nobody else, but I've been there in my life where it seemed like there just wasn't nothing going right. Our life's coming down hard, and I look around, and I just get real spiritual. And I say, Lord, I mean, did you forget about me? Where are you at? I thought we was on the same team here. I thought you was with me. And I know that ain't spiritual, and that ain't right, but sometimes that's just how we feel. And I'm saying, Lord, I mean, what's going on? How could this happen? How could it get to this kind of shape? How could things get this dark? How could they get this bleak? But boy, I'm glad when the Lord showed up, it made a difference, didn't it? They seen him walking out there, and they said, hey, who's that out there walking on the water? And they thought, well, by reason of elimination, there's only one person that could be, right? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So next thing you know, old Peter, I mean, my goodness. I mean, 5 minutes ago, he's scared to death, afraid he's about to die. Next thing you know, he's walking on the water. Now, his faith ends up failing him, and I understand all that. But, boy, I'll tell you, for a little while, I ain't never walked on no water, but old Peter did. And that's something. I mean, that's something to brag about. He'd done a lot of good things, and he walked on water, and I didn't get to do that. And you know what? That come after a real, real dark time. And I'll tell you this, and what I want to get across to you in that is this, is that I don't know where folks are at, and I'm not silly enough to believe that everybody in here is doing good, everything's right in your life, everything's going the way that you think it ought to go, and there's plenty of money in your pocket, and you got all your health, and everything's doing fine and dandy. I mean, if that's you, praise the Lord, friend, but the fact of the matter is, most of us, we're just not in that shape, right? But boy, I'm glad that when the Lord passes by, that it still makes a difference. Now, he may not come walking on the water like he did over there, but boy, when his presence comes in, Brother Matt, there's just something about it. There's something about the presence of an almighty God, and it makes all the difference. No matter how dark may be the storm, no matter how big the waves may be, friend, I tell you, it makes all the difference. I thought about Elijah, Brother Gavin, over there in the book, I believe it's 1 Kings, 2 Kings, wherever it's at, but he's over there, and you know, he goes up there on the mount, and he challenges all the prophets of Baal, and he's up there. I mean, there's like 400 of them, maybe 400 more. I can't remember all the details. But anyway, he's up there, and I mean, it's just him against all these guys. And they're cutting themselves. They're doing all this crazy stuff, trying to get their God to respond. Oh, Elijah, he's making fun of him. You know, he said, well, maybe he's asleep, or maybe he's on vacation, you know. And they get mad, and they're upset. And then he goes, and he says, all right, Lord, let's just show them something real good right here, okay? So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to pour water. I mean, let's pour, like I think it's like 8 barrels on there. They soaked that thing down in water, in other words. There was a trench about it, full of water. And then he said, all right, Lord, it's time to show up and show out. And that's what the Lord done. Fire came down from heaven, lapped up the sacrifice, dried up all the water. I mean, you could have struck a match off that table when the Lord was. I mean, it was dry, friend. And I'll tell you what, and Elijah, he comes off of there. I mean, he's been on the mount. I mean, everything's been so good. I mean, that'd be something, wouldn't it? I mean, you wouldn't think. But no, you wouldn't think that nothing could bring him down. And then some old prophet of Jezebel, or Jezebel, she's a prophet or something. Anyway, she comes around. She said, Elijah, I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you. If you're not the same as them men that you killed a minute ago, this time tomorrow, then I'll tell you, I forget exactly how she words it. But anyway, she said, I'm going to get you, Elijah. And what does he do? He gets scared. And he runs off and he says, oh, Lord, please help me. I'm poor, poor, pitiful me. He crawls up under the juniper tree and does all that, ends up in a cave and all that. And you all know the story. And I tell you what, in the middle of all that, boy, I mean, just one of the darkest times of discouragement in Elijah's life. And just because you've been on the mountaintop, look here, friend, that don't mean you're not headed into a discouraging time. I ain't here to be a discouraging preacher, but it comes, and sometimes, Brother Doug, it comes fast. I mean, these times I've crawled out of the pulpit, and Brother Nathaniel, I mean, I felt all right about what the Lord was doing, and boy, the next day, I mean, I was just in a mess, just discouraged, downtrodden, thought, Lord, you don't even care about me. I ain't doing no good. What's the point and all? I mean, it's just amazing how quickly we can go from being up to being down. But boy, even in the worst of times, when everything's going bad and we're discouraged in our walk with the Lord, we're discouraged in our usefulness to Him, discouraged in our marriage, discouraged in our kids, I mean, you name it, friend, discouraged in your job, discouraged in your church, whatever it may be, I'm glad that whenever the darkest of times, that Brother Savage, there was a voice that spoke to Elijah.
Now he went outside, he, you know, the fire blew, and he said, oh, the Lord ain't in that. And the rocks moved, and he said, the Lord ain't in that. But boy, I tell you, the Bible says there was a still, small voice.
Amen.
And when God spoke, Elijah knew who it was. And he said, all right. He wrapped his head in a mantle, and he come out because he was scared to look. He's afraid he's going to be in God's presence, right? But he knew how holy that God was. So he come out, and he said, man, Lord, what's going on? Well, the end of that thing, Elijah walks out of there. He thinks he's all by himself. There's 7,000 people just like him. He said, hey, they're still serving the Lord. And as a matter of fact, I've got one that's going to be your predecessor. If you'd get out of your little cave and go over and get him, he's waiting on you right now, old Elisha. I mean, what a blessing that was to Elijah to have an Elisha coming behind him. Boy, and all that after a discouraging time. Ain't that something? But I want you to see that, friend, what makes the difference is the Lord showing up. Everything looks bad until God shows up. And that may be the way your life is. There may be times where you say, I mean, and the sister's done testified about it. There may be times where you say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of praying about it. I'm discouraged. I can't see what you're doing. It don't seem like nothing's happening. I'm about ready to quit. But look here, friend, don't do that. A lot of times that's when the Lord's just liable. Show up and do something. It'll be far better than anything you'd ever be able to do. I tell you this, I'll give you this if you've got time for it. I know a lot of folks want to get home and watch that Super Bowl. I hope that ain't the case with you. I might preach for 15, 20 more minutes. But anyway, I thought about this. Now, look here, friend. I remember a day, and if you're saved, you do too. I remember there's a day, and Brother Doug, it was about as dark a time as could be. And I tell you where I was at. I was sitting on a church pew. I was about three rows up, Crossroads Free Will Baptist Church. Old John Gunner was up, he was a shell in the corn. I don't know what he was saying, but I know what God was saying. And it was dark. And I tell you what God was doing. But Eli, God was showing me what it was. He said, hey, you ain't no good. Now you, I was proud, I'll just be honest, I was a prideful person. Thought I was something. God said, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. You're a sinner. Without me, you'll bust hell wide open. I said, no, Lord. We worked things out a few years ago. I repeated that prayer. It's all right. God said, no, 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 no. That ain't it. Well, Lord, I go to a good church. Amazing Grace. Best in the world. He said, that ain't going to cut it. You've sinned against an almighty God. Genesis 5, 1 through 4, they apply. You've been appointed mortal, incurable, sorrowful, sadness. Boy, that's a lot of weight, ain't it? And that weight, boy, when it falls on a sinner, it's almost unbearable. It'll get you right to that point. Well, we say a lot of times, Brother Savage, you'll about have to just either come to him or run away from him. You just about can't handle it. Dark time, dark time. Running from the Lord all week long, miserable. Trying to sleep, miserable. Woke up one night, could have swore the trumpet of the Lord was sounding. Done missed it. I laugh now, wasn't funny then. I had to go downstairs to see if Mom and Dad was still down there. Lay in the bed. Wonder if they left out. Went back upstairs, laid down, thought, man alive, I don't want this no more. I don't like that. Dark time. Now I look back, boy, it's precious to me. Because guess what happened after that? Took that old white flag of surrender and said, Lord, I'm done. I'm done with that. Whatever you want, you can have it. I'm done. Or would you just save me? Or would you just change me? I tell you what Lord done. Lord kept up his end of the bargain. And I tell you what I found out. Now, there's been a lot of things happen since then. I got married, praise the Lord, for my wife. I've had three kids. I mean, boy, some of the most precious days of my life. You know, young parents, you know what I'm talking about. But there ain't nothing quite measures up to that day. Now, it was a dark time before it happened. But boy, once the Lord came, once the Lord made a difference, boy, it made all the difference. And I say praise the Lord for it. I tell you what, I've cleared my heart. I feel like the Lord be done with us right there. I'll ask Brother Donnie and Sister Alyssa, if they will, to come and get us a song. Ask everybody to stand to your feet.
Don't know what the Lord's done in your heart tonight, but I do appreciate the Lord for being the difference maker, don't you?